there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey guys, it's Kyle. Today on 10 Questions, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and his new movie, American Underdog. The guy who plays Kurt Warner, Zachary Levi. You know him from Chuck. You know him from Shazam. One of the most fun episodes we've ever done. We talk football. We talk a lot about Shazam, comic book movies, all kinds of stuff. You'll love it. Bruce Buffer, get these guys in here.
This podcast is scheduled for 10 questions. Fighting out of New York, standing at 5 feet 11 inches tall, and wearing the red, white, and blue trunks, presenting Kyle Brandt.
Thank you, Bruce Buffer. This one is special. This one is different. You're going to love it. Welcome to 10 Questions, where we don't just have conversations, we have competitions. Everybody leaves here with a score. There's 10 questions, each worth 1 point. You get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you get zero. Today we have two contestants. We've only done it one other time. Rob Gronkowski and Camille Kostek came in here together. And today we got this duo. But before we bring them in, let's give them some context, some prior contestants who have been in here, and you might notice a theme with these gentlemen and their scores.
I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I got 6 out of 10.
I'm Josh Allen, and I got a 9 out of 10.
Hello, I'm Brett Favre, and I got 7 out of 10.
I'm Eli Manning, and I got 9 out of 10.
A lot of QBs, and here we go. How do I introduce these two gentlemen? One of them is playing the other one in a movie. One of these guys is an adult who doesn't drink coffee but still drinks Wild Cherry Pepsi. He's in that cross-section. One of them, check this out, was ranked 97th on Buddy TV's list of the 100 Sexiest Men of 2011, and his favorite Weezer song is Only in Dreams. That is a banger, and so is American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, coming out December 25th. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Warner and Zachary Levi, welcome.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on?
By the way, you're right. Man. That is a banger of a song.
Only in Dreams. Oh, it's good. Kurt, you an Only in Dreams guy?
No, I'm not a big music guy. Sorry. But I didn't know you were going to, you know, interview me yesterday when we were on Good Morning Football, and you were going to use that against me today and tell people I drink cherry Pepsi, so I'm like a kid, just like my wife says.
Kurt, I haven't even started using the material you gave me. Just wait. I'm going to unload the bag today.
I mean, that was just two friends talking. That was just
This is a competition, Kurt. 10 questions. Some of them are going to be for you, Zach. Some are going to be from Kurt. You can work together on some. You can stay by yourself on others. If you get tripped up and you're like, what the hell is this? We have a lifeline on 10 questions, and it's called Ask a Millennial. We have a real millennial in another window, and we'll bring him in, and you can ask him. It's a real thing.
I love it.
So here we go. Let's not waste any more time. Zachary Levi and Kurt Warner, stars of American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Question number one. This is for both of you. You can collaborate on this. Your category is children's humor. Zach, I know you love children's humor. Kurt, I know you have children. Here we go. Finish this joke that my 7-year-old told me last week. Why did the football coach go to the bank?
To get his quarterback.
He says to get his quarterback. Is that right? Warner! Yeah!
Warner for the win.
Yes. I do have 7 kids, man. They've used that one plenty of times. You know, they love dad jokes too. So anytime I can come up with a good one. So.
And you happen to be a quarterback, so, you know.
But yeah.
Well, Zach, you were quarterback for many months. Here's what I want to know. I represent a lot of sports fans. I'm kind of a snob about the football. There was one moment I knew I was not going to just see this movie. I was going to pay money to see it. It's not the cast. It's not the story. It's not the acting. It was the 2 seconds where I watched you throw a football. You could have got me or lost me then. Dude, you looked good. You threw it well. I believed it. You sold it. How do you even begin to learn how to throw a football, even approaching a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Well, fortunately, I had a lot of help. I had a lot of great tutelage. I got to throw around with Kurt a lot, which was very surreal. And I also had this other great quarterback coach, Clint Dolezel. And we spent like 2 months in this crash course quarterback camp, essentially. And, you know, obviously working on mechanics and trying to throw as best a spiral as I could. And I do feel like I got to the point where I could throw a couple dimes here and there. But I also had incredible doubles that did a lot of, like, you know, lots of big throws, lots of the big hits. You know, there's only one of me. So if I go down and I'm injured, then we don't make the movie anymore, like that kind of stuff. So, you know, I can't take all that credit, but I do feel good about the progress I made in a few months for sure.
It looked good. And now, Kurt, you have been very generous and magnanimous about, listen, it's my life, but I understand it's a movie. Not as everything is to the note. I get it. I totally understand. However, Kurt, if this guy came out here and was sidearming it and doing the Phil Rivers thing, he cannot represent you that way. So what was it like to see him, never mind playing you, what's it like to see him throw as you?
Well, you know, Kyle, he came to the house shortly after he signed on to be a part of the movie. And so he came, obviously, to figure out about my relationship with Brenda and see my relationship with the kids and figure out who I was. And the whole time in my mind, I'm like, we just need to go out back. Because this whole thing is going to be determined by whether you can throw a football or not. And you know, as you said, is that, you know, we've all seen those sports movies where you get in and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's so awful. That would never happen.
Yeah.
And they lose you for the rest of the movie, right? Because this movie is obviously the backdrop is football. But it's not a football movie when it's all said and done. So the point is, we can't lose them. Like, we got to hold them through the football stuff. So if we mess that up, and so, yeah, it was definitely a concern of mine. Because the other part is, I also know that he's not a football player. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that part of it, but you don't get to tell everybody when they're walking into the theater, hey, remember, Zach didn't play football for 40 years and he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. You don't get to tell them that.
So just put a disclaimer in the beginning. Right?
So they only get what's on the screen. And so that definitely was a concern of mine. But the craziest part, Kyle, is I was actually on set for most of the football stuff. And I believe they brought me on set at those times because it's like, okay, help us to show us how this is going to work out and what you did. I did very little on those days because the plays that they were running were plays I remember running, whether it was arena football or in the NFL. Zach did a great job. They meshed it together. I mean, I think the football scenes are really, really good in the movie, when that was probably my biggest concern, is I figured we'd get the rest of it right and the drama would be good. Did we get the football right? And Zach did. I mean, and he, you know, like you said, it was a crash course. I mean, I played with guys in the NFL where we would play catch on the sideline. And I'm like, dude, how did you get to the NFL? You can't throw a football. Like, how is this possible? We all did this from the time we were small and you made it to the NFL. So for what he was able, you know, in a short period of time to put it together and to do the things and shoot the scenes the way that we did, I'm really, really proud of that part of it.
That's awesome. And it's really cool of you to say, too. You're welcome, son. Listen, I'm not even joking. Like, Peyton Manning can't throw a spiral. He talks about it all the time. Zach, you did. I'm proud of you, too.
Well, I told him, Kyle, one of the running jokes in the household is my wife always jokes, well, you never threw a spiral either. So I made it easier on him from that standpoint that I'm like,
I had a little wiggle room.
The good thing is, you don't have to throw any tight spirals because I never did. You'll be good.
All right. Well, Zach, you said wiggle room. That's over now. That was our icebreaker question. Now let's get real. This is just for Zach. Kurt, you're not allowed to speak or you lose the point. I want to find out how well you two know each other. Zach, strike me as a guy who does his research and, you know, backstory on the character. Question two. Your category is daytime television. Zach, during his time with the Amsterdam Admirals, Kurt and Brenda watched what talk show every single day?
Oh, dear.
Kurt, you're not allowed to help.
You are using everything that we talked about yesterday, aren't you? Everything.
They watched The View.
He says The View, old View this would have been. Is it The View? It's not The View. Kurt, what was it? Tell him.
It was the Jerry Springer show.
What the?
Was on.
Oh, man. Don't tell me that. It was better that you didn't tell me that.
I was in Amsterdam, and so when we would go down to the lunchroom, they didn't have a lot of American television.
Yeah.
So that's what they had on every single day.
Rationalize that however you need to, okay? If this helps you sleep at night.
I didn't have the remote control. I didn't turn it to the Jerry Springer show. It was just always on when we were there. We had no choice.
Sure. Always Kurt, on. I got it. Okay.
I just love that you thought you were watching The View guy. No.
The View guy. Come on.
I don't look at you as a daytime talk show a person at all. I don't know.
Isn't that crazy? That would have changed Zachary's entire performance. Like, you have to reshoot the movie now that he knows you are right. Jerry.
How many times in Dutch did you hear, "You are not the father"? How many times did that?
It was still in English. Lots of times over lunch.
Zach, we're talking about him in Amsterdam. Of all these different phases of Kurt's career, and frankly, due respect to the other shows you're doing and the junkets you're on, I know those phases more than most people. I do the damn football every single day. I know the Barnstormers. I know the Rams. Which of those phases of his career, of his ascension, did you find most interesting to play?
That's a really good question. To be honest, I found Arena to, in some ways, be the most interesting because it was the of the three, of college, Arena, and NFL, it was the one I knew the least about. You know, I've watched NFL my whole life. I mean, my mom literally used to drag me and my sisters to sports bars when we were kids in the 80s. Like, I've been watching football a long time. When projection TVs were those, like, remember those, weird things with they had, like, the big bulbs of red and green and blue, like, shining up on them, and the super, like, fuzzy picture, all that jazz. So I've watched NFL a lot. I've obviously watched a lot of college ball. And college ball and NFL have more in their similar DNA. So they're a bit more online. But, you know, learning about Arena, learning about that, you know, what did in the movie, it's the 50-yard...
Indoor war.
50-yard indoor war. And how, and you know, and I thought what was so cool is that that was part of your time in the wilderness of becoming so quick as a quarterback, being able to read your coverage and get rid of the ball so quick, and how that was so pertinent to him then being so triumphant in The Greatest Show on Turf. So that stuff was really interesting, and how you could call your guys in motion and then, like, literally, like, they could be running, you know, from 15 yards behind, and you just get that ball right as they're crossing through. Like, this is crazy. It's so much fun.
Have you seen the movie yet, Kyle?
No, I haven't. I've only seen the trailer and talked to you.
There's a great scene in the movie because I remember when I first started playing arena football and the first day of practice, because we played in a small arena, but we couldn't practice in that arena. We didn't have the rights to have the arena. So the first day I practiced was on an outdoor field where they had bales of hay set up as the walls. And it was about 4 foot high. So we'd have guys going flying over the bales of hay. We put up, you know, two big telephone poles on the end of the field. And that became our goalpost that our kickers had to kick through. And so when I showed up, I'm like, seriously, what am I doing?
What is this,
like,
ranking
what
nonsense?
Is this? Yeah. So it was a pretty crazy, incredible time for me as well, both on and off the field.
God, that's great. And what goes around comes around. You're one for two, you guys. But now we're going to talk about Zach. He did not know you watched Jerry Springer. Kurt, here's a question for you about Zach's past. Here we go. Kurt, your category is cable television. In 2004, Zach played a bellman in what iconic HBO show?
You got this. I really believe we can pull this out.
Played a bellman.
HBO show. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What could it have been? See, Zach can just relax.
What is an iconic HBO show?
What do you think?
I am trying even to come up with an HBO show.
I don't think you watch a lot of HBO.
Yeah, he's the one.
Iconic HBO show.
Don't be so enthusiastic about it.
I'm trying. Right. I want to.
Do you think Tony Soprano had a bellman?
I'm going to throw one out there.
Okay.
I don't know. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
All right, so the quarterback throws one out there, and maybe it's because Zach wrote it on his hand. Is it Curb Your Enthusiasm?
What?
It's Curb! Yes. Teammates, high fives. All right, so Larry's checking into a hotel. The bellman is doing that thing where they say, and here's the thermostat, and here's the remote, and here's the minibar, and Larry starts to get really annoyed. Kurt, uh-huh. If you haven't seen it, here's about 15 seconds of Zach and Larry David and Curb.
Okay, all right, good.
You have remote control for power on and off, channel.
Copy that.
Up and down, volume up and down. Mini bar also underneath.
Got it. Got it.
Thermostat for air temperature control.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Zach, what's it like to listen to that back?
It's funny, man. It brings back memories. It was such a crazy job. First of all, I mean, I'm such a huge fan of the show and Larry David and all that jazz. But the audition itself, because the whole thing is actually improv. Like, we have an idea. They have an outline of what the scenes are supposed to do. like, what, you know, what is your, what is your intention or what is your agenda? But you make up all the words. And so I went to the audition. They gave him this little fortune cookie sized piece of paper. And it says, you're a bellman and you're over explaining the room to Larry so you can get a better tip. And that's it. And then I had to go find a corner in some office building and like down the hallway. And I just started going over all these bits in my mind, like, what are all the things in a room and how would I over explain them? And like, you know, up and down and left and right. And this is a window open and close and all, you know, whatever, all the nonsense. And then I go into the room and Larry David was there for the audition, which, by the way, rarely happens. You're rarely auditioning with the lead actor of a show, and he's there. And we just riff and improv this scene. And the next thing I know, they said, okay, you're our bellman. I was like, this is pretty dope. So, awesome. Yeah, it was great.
That's it's awesome. A classic Curb scene. And Larry's like, okay, and this is the floor for standing and the window you look out of. Yeah, yeah, and it just keeps going and going. Yeah, yeah. Kurt, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Well, full disclosure, I've never seen the show, not a single episode of the show. And I've heard so much great things. Actually, was over at Rich Eisen's house and had dinner with with him just a couple years or a couple weeks ago with Larry David. And so I haven't seen the show, but I was popping through the other day on TV and I'm like, there's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You
at some point
it's
in time, I have got to turn this on and watch this show because I've heard so many incredible things about it.
Yeah. Is Larry like really neurotic at dinner? And does he sit in the middle of the table? And does he, what's Larry like at dinner party?
You know, he was actually pretty quiet. But then every once in a while, he interjects with something. He's got one of those great stories that he shares with you, but pretty unassuming for the most part, you know, throughout the night.
And he can middle. He can actually middle.
See, Zach, you know the references. You're up to date. He can middle.
Right. Exactly. See, I got to know. I got to watch now. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, Zach, you could be a classic middle at a party. We'll get more into that. You guys right now are 2 out of 3. Zach, name the movie is the category here. I have a clip from a movie. I'm willing to bet you've seen it. It's going to be about 15 seconds long. If you can name the movie, you get the point and start 3 out of 4. Zachary Levi, name the movie.
You know, guys, we are never going to get a fair shake as long as Stan Gable is president.
Look, the only way to become president is to win the homecoming carnival.
That's right, Arnold. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
What is it?
Oh, that's easy. That's Revenge of the Nerds right there.
That's Revenge of the Nerds, baby. We're 3 out of 4.
That's
oh,
right.
My gosh.
Revenge of the Nerds. Wow, that's way back.
A movie that you could never make today, by
that's
the way, just
way,
for what it's worth.
Way back.
Yeah. Find a movie that has aged worse. I think I don't know if you could do it. Maybe Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell, but that would be the only one.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm asking you about that, Zach. You, like me, you're into the nerd stuff. You're into nerd culture. Yeah. You started a company called Nerd Machine. Let's just give the nerds a couple minutes right here, and let's talk about Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Yeah,
let's get them excited because my house is a Shazam house. There's millions of them around the country. I know Kurt's got a whole bunch of kids. Let's get them fired up for the Shazam sequel. Why are you excited about it?
I mean, listen, man, it's such an amazing role to play. I'm so grateful and so blessed that this is the superhero that I ultimately got to. You know, I was a supporting role in the Thor franchise, but this is like I'm my own superhero now. I'm the guy wearing the spandex. And the fact that I get to play a superhero that's, you know, this, you know, big muscular man that is really just a 16-year-old kid inside is just endlessly entertaining and fun to do. But I think all that translates across, you know, through the camera and to the audience. And, you know, in the first one, we made a really delightful little movie. I think in this one, we've made that, turned up to 11. We didn't lose the heart of what it was. It still got the same heart and charm and humor and family and all that jazz. But we got a little more budget, a little more time. We got some upgrades in the suits and all that stuff and the special effects, no doubt. And now, you know, from the first one, you know, we saw that all the kids then all got to have that super alter ego. And now in the second one, we get to dive a little more into that. And what does that look like with all of them? And they're kind of team building and working together to solve problems and fight crime. I can't tell you too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's awesome. I mean, honestly, like we all were shooting it, feeling like this feels good, right? Like this feels really good. And our baddies this time, our villains are Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren, yes. Like Dame Helen Mirren. She and I have like legit scenes where she and I are just like tete-a-tete, like talking to each other. I'm like, what is this? It's so surreal.
God, that's so cool. It is very surreal. And that's a word that comes up surreal. A lot with both of you gentlemen. Kurt, this is wheelhouse for you. So let's finish up this jam talk with this. Kurt, you competed against the Rodgers and Mannings and Favres and all of them. Let's do a little competition. I want you to weigh in on this. Zach's also been in 2 Thor movies, okay? Street fight right now. Shazam versus Thor. Who you got?
I mean, you got all kinds of powers at Shazam. I mean, you got like everything. You don't know how to use half of them, but you've got them all. So once you figure it out, I feel like Shazam's in really good shape. But what are we talking about? Shazam, where at here, Kyle? At what point in the story are we with Shazam?
Mature Shazam. Shazam.
I'm going with Thor and the hammer. But the fully mature, understand all my talents and my gifts and my powers, I'll go with Shazam on that one.
Thank you. I'll give you $100 right now if you can pronounce Thor's hammer's name.
Mm.
Nobody can. That's the thing. Nobody can do it.
How do you do it?
What about your cape? Or what? I mean, what?
That's just called a cape, Kurt.
Well, I know. So what, what's the point?
It's a joke for all the nerds. It's an impossible word.
Okay.
Yeah, I can say Ragnarok, but say it one more time, Zach, the hammer.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir? You know it and you can't even say it.
Well, it's funny to mispronounce it because I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
Well, Kurt, didn't you once have a tight end who was named Manu Malinuna or something like that? That's pretty close.
Yes, Brandon. Yes. We just called him Big B. We eliminate Big that B. completely. We just call the hammer M, Big M.
Big M, Big B. You guys, 3 out of 4. Let's get cooking here. This is fun. I'm going to tie in some more of your co-stars from American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. So here's the deal. Dennis Quaid was on this program a few weeks ago, and we talked about this film. This is for Kurt. Your category is co-stars. Kurt. Dennis Quaid, we talked about Coach Vermeil's iconic line after Trent Green got hurt, who went to the media and said, "We will rally around Kurt Warner." Dennis Quaid did that line, "We will rally around Kurt Warner," as which of his past characters? Is it A, Doc Holliday, B, Jerry Lee Lewis, or C, Cap Rooney from Any Given Sunday? Which one did he do it first? It was pretty cool.
Give me the choices again. What do you mean he did it first?
He does Dick Vermeil as Doc Holliday, Jerry Lee Lewis, or Cap Rooney. Which one?
Explain this to me. What do you mean he did it
first? He says, "We will rally." Is that what he says?
Coach Vermeil says, "We will rally around Kurt Warner." We were talking about what a great line that was, and Dennis performed that line as one of these characters.
Oh, alive. He performed it as one of those characters.
He performed Dick Vermeil's line as Jerry Lee Lewis or Doc Holliday or Cap Rooney. Who do you think he did it as?
He's got the most, like, character.
Mm-hmm. Zach, you can help him on this one.
I mean, I was going to go with Doc Holliday because I think there's some actual, like, accent and, like, something to that.
I was going
to
go with Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, it could, right. Jerry Lee Lewis also had an accent. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, which is kind of a little bit of...
I can't remember Cap from Any Given Sunday. It could have been that, too.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Isn't this such a Kurt Warner thing that Zach Levi, who is an actor, goes to him, "I think it's Doc Holliday," and Kurt goes, "Yeah, I'm going to go with Jerry Lee Lewis." He does it his own way, and let's find out. I'm going to roll it for you right now. Is it Doc Holliday or is it Jerry Lee Lewis? Here is Dennis Quaid.
So what if instead of Dick Vermeil saying we would rally around Kurt Warner, it was Jerry Lee Lewis? How would that sound?
"We will rally around Kurt Warner."
It's Jerry Lee. It's Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes, it is.
Kurt, you got it.
Yes, it is.
Props.
You're 4 out of 5, Kurt. You're hot. You're hitting those timing passes that you're so good at.
Keep it going.
Let's get serious for a little bit. Dick Vermeil is such an incredible character to play, not only because of his conviction of football, but look, the emotions. That's one of his calling cards. In that moment, Kurt, when Trent had gone down and we all watched, and as sports fans, we remember it vividly, what was it about you that you think made Coach Vermeil really speak that boldly about what was going to happen with that team?
It's funny how you look at it, Kyle, because you say what made him speak boldly in saying those words. What I was seeing was Dick Vermeil crying while he was saying those words and going, "He's crying as he's trying to pump me up and let everybody know we're going to be fine, but he's crying because he's like, my job is over. I am going to get fired, but we'll rally around this guy and we'll play
good football.
You know, but in all seriousness, first of all, I'll say, I don't know if he 100% believed it. I think he wanted to believe it. But what people don't know a lot about the story, a lot of people think, I mean, obviously I went from the supermarket and then, you know, 10 days later, I won a Super Bowl. Obviously didn't happen like that. And you know, Kyle, that I was actually on the Rams a year before I actually took over as a starter. So I was on the team in 98 and I was the scout team quarterback. And that year I was scout team player of the year. Like, I would tear up our defense. Like, I'd have buddies on the squad that were just practice squad players, and we're like, today we're going to school our best defense. We would go out there and we would tear apart our defense. So I won scout team player of the year. And so the only thing I can tell you is he'd never really seen me play in a game, but in practice I was really, really good. And so I think behind all of that was, man, if we can just get a little of that practice into the game, along with all this talent that we have, we can play some good football. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure if it was tears, you know, for Trent, or tears because I was taken over, or tears because he was going to lose his job. But ultimately, it worked out pretty well for all of us.
God, that is a great answer, because I have never looked at that bite ever other than what an amazing, earnest moment. And maybe there was a little complicated emotion. Zach, let me pivot to you. In your own career, have you had a moment when you were starting off and someone stuck their neck out for you and gave you a break and vouched for you and helped you like that?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like almost every single time I've been able to get to the next level of my career in a lot of ways. I mean, when I started, I was a kid that was like in doing theater, like through school, through community theater. I was doing it all the time. And I was doing this random community theater play that maybe 30 people were at that night, you know, in like 150 seat house. I mean, it felt like there weren't very many people there. And with most community theater or school theater, after the show, you go out to like the foyer and you shake everybody's hands and thanks for coming. And it was 1999, I think.
Good year for both 18. Of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good year for me,
it was a great year for everybody. and I was 18, and this woman, after the show, she's this little 4-foot-nothing lady named Maria Comfort, and she grabbed me, and she's like, you've got it, kid, and I want to help you. And I was like, geez, thanks, lady. I could use all the help I can get. And she connected me to a manager who then believed in me, who got me to a casting director named Randy Hiller, who is now the head of casting for Disney. But I was this nobody kid with no resume, a horrible headshot. She read me for one role, and she was like, you deserve an agent, and I want to help you get one. And she got me to, like, basically one of the top agencies in Hollywood. So all of those things. I mean, even when I got Shazam, it was partly because I had screen tested to play Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy that ultimately went to Chris Pratt. But James Gunn knew, well, his manager is this gentleman, Peter Safran, who's the producer of Shazam. And Peter asked James Gunn, hey, what was his screen test like? And James said, you know what? He was great. I mean, you should really consider hiring him. So even that was James going out of his way to stick his neck out for me. I mean, all of these things are, I think, indicative of just the incredible blessings that I've been given throughout my life. You know, the provision and the providence and the protection and all of it.
Who was your person, Kyle?
You know, Jim Rome certainly helped me out a lot. But
okay,
when they get together Good Morning Football, the story was, so we got our ex-player, we got our strong female anchor, and we got our insider. We're set. That's our show. That's all you need. That checks every box. And there was a couple people, Jordan Levin, Michael Mann, people at NFL Network, who said, there's this guy who's kind of crazy and he doesn't fit any of the boxes, but maybe we should try a wild card, just try something different. And nobody tries anything different. They don't. Like, no one, it just stick with the formula and it works. But like, obviously, Kurt, everything you did was different. Zach, everything about Shazam is different. Everything you've done. And hearing you tell that story, Kurt, you know what I was thinking? Like, they got the right guy to play Kurt Warner. Like, that is the perfect story and the perfect guy. And you guys do not have a perfect score, but you're at 4 out of 5. And now we get cooking. I'm really enjoying this. And guess what? You're about to both be happy. Kurt, something I know you like. Question number 6. The category is basketball. Zach, this is for you. Here we go. God, I'm excited to talk about this. I'm so excited about this topic. Zach. All right. It's my great thrill to mention that, Zach, you played in the 2011 NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. Okay? Magic Johnson was your head coach.
Uh-huh.
Who was the assistant coach? Who was it?
Oh my god!
I don't remember.
George Lopez? No.
I can't bring in the millennial. They wouldn't know this. This was 10 years ago, and no one would know the random assistant coach. It was actor.
2011.
2011.
But it wasn't a former basketball player, was it, the assistant coach?
It was an actor on a very successful television show. That's all I'll tell you. Jimmy Kimmel was the GM. You had a lot of good teammates. Magic was the coach. Who was the assistant coach?
Jimmy Kimmel was the GM?
I don't remember. It's all a hoot and a holler, really. I mean, literally, Justin Bieber was our point guard. Like, I don't really know.
He's good.
He's good. He was a child at the time.
Yes.
He wasn't exactly crossing anybody over.
I'm going to give you the answer, and I'm just going to watch your reaction, Zach, because you're either going to be like, oh, I don't remember that, or, oh, it's going to kill you. The assistant coach was a great actor named Ty Burrell.
Oh, Ty Burrell was our assistant coach?
He was the assistant coach, Modern Family.
I wouldn't have been able to pull that out of my butt, honestly. Ty Burrell's a great guy, though. I'm glad he was our assistant coach.
Maybe not the greatest coach of all time, but that's not what he does.
Obviously.
I think we lost him.
We didn't give him anything good for the game. Obviously, he was an awful coach. We didn't even remember him.
He was no Mike Martz, but you did mention the Bieber thing. What else do you remember about that, Zach? Because I saw that Bieber was named MVP, and I literally looked it up. He was 3 of 11 shooting and was still MVP. What was that experience like?
Yeah, well, you know, 3 of 11 in the celebrity game is not
probably good.
I don't know. What do I remember? Common was there.
Yeah.
Common was playing some ball. Oh, you know, actually, who I remember the most was oh, dang it. Wide receiver for the Cowboys.
Terrell Owens.
Yeah, Terrell Owens. Oh. That guy was dunking. Like, I didn't realize the specimen. I mean, obviously watching him as a wide receiver was incredible, but I never put together just like what his vertical and his hops could be as a basketball player. And I didn't realize he had played ball like a lot of dudes did, like even Iverson or whatever.
Yeah.
He was slamming that thing. I was like, dang. He missed his calling. Yeah.
Did you get his stat line? I mean, no, you got beat your stat line.
It was like one.
Did you have a stat line? Did you do anything?
I think I made a layup or two.
Okay.
I think so.
I was curious.
I was playing the five, you know, I mean, I got some, I got some good boards and I think I got some turnaround. Yeah. At least in my mind, I did.
I hear you. And I'm going to go back and find it on YouTube, but Kurt, I want to ask you about one thing we talked about earlier this week. I thought it was a fascinating observation. And I like you. So I'm going to give you a platform to say this. You had this reputation as, I'm sorry, but like you weren't an athletic quarterback, especially by today's standards. And yet you have this conviction where you're like, hold on, I'm a great athlete. Tell the people what you mean by that, because I love this.
Well, you know, because I grew up playing every sport. So I was All-State in basketball, one of the best baseball players in our state as well, and obviously played football as well. So anything with the ball, I played. And I was really good. I mean, I averaged 12 rebounds, 19 points in high school. I almost actually played in college as well. They wanted me to play in college, but I couldn't work it out with the football. So, yeah, I mean, I say felt, but, you know, there was things to back it up that I was a really good athlete growing up. And, you know, I would have players that would, you know, friends of mine that would play basketball with me, and they would look at me and go, dude, how are you such a good basketball player, but such an awful athlete on the football field? How is that possible?
Yeah.
And, you know, as we were talking the other day, that's the crazy thing is when I got on the football field, my job was to throw the football. My job was to see where I was supposed to throw it to Terrell Owens or whoever that is, you know, my guys, and let them be the athlete. So it was almost like I shut off my athleticism when I played football because that's not what I'm here for. So even when I would get out of the pocket, never in my mind would it ever be, oh, go juke that guy out like you've done a million times in your backyard or like you're crossing somebody over in basketball. It was just, where can I throw it? What am I looking at? And, you know, I've had a number of guys that come, I still play basketball to this day, and they come over and they say the same thing, like, dude, where did that come from?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to school you out here because you're such a non-athlete. It bothers me because I really do feel like I'm a good athlete, but I just didn't play the way that, you know, that sounds, or when you look at athletic quarterbacks, I didn't play the quarterback position athletically. And so my kids even, you know, they're like, dad, you're such an awful athlete, man. It's unbelievable. And I mean, it's kind of embarrassing because I really do feel like I'm a good athlete.
But in fairness, the NFL wasn't really that type of a league even at that point. No. Running quarterbacks started to roll in.
It wasn't even being a running quarterback. It was just like being able to run. Like, dad, you can't even run. Like, don't even do that. Like, you look so bad out there.
No.
So that's the thing is that I felt the same way that I looked, Kyle. That's the worst part is that when I was out there, I felt like a non-athlete. Like, I'm going to go make him boom. And I feel like dude, who are you? But incredible. So it is embarrassing because you can't even show your kids something really good athletically at that level because you so much want to say, see?
Yeah.
Because my kids now, they look at me and they're like, you're just an old guy that's a horrible athlete. And I have to tell them, you don't understand. I was a better athlete than you were. And they're like, Dad, you're a joke. Come on, man. There's no way. They think it was just easy because they're better athletes than I am.
I actually heard that on set of American Underdog, Zach was running through some plays and they came up to him and said, Zach, could you be a little less athletic? This isn't really selling right now. Just tone it down.
No, I think he nailed that.
I was that naturally.
I think he nailed the non-athletic part. All right. He hit the nail on the head there.
Bieber was 3 for 11. You guys are 4 for 6. So we have 4 questions left. Let's finish strong. Zach, this is a fun one. This is a question you will only get here, I promise. Question number 7, your category is Marvel. Okay, now you're a DC guy, you've been a Marvel guy, you've been all over. Check this out. I have sound to prove it. Years back, Brenda Warner said which current Marvel star was her choice to play Kurt Warner in a movie. Who did she say?
Current Marvel star?
Current Marvel star. This guy's in big Marvel movies. He's a very accomplished actor. And Brenda said, that's the one I want to play Kurt.
Can we clarify it a little bit?
No. She told Kurt. Kurt told us. Current Marvel star. And Kurt, we'll clarify in a minute. What do you think?
Maybe. Well, actually, I'll throw on Chris Pratt again. Chris Pratt.
Brenda liked Chris Pratt. All right, I'm going to play the sound. This is Kurt Warner on the Good Morning Football program regaling us with the tale of who Brenda's choice would be to play him. Listen.
If one of us have a say in this, okay. Miss Brenda's the one choosing.
All right,
so,
there you go.
As of right now, she's in love with Tom Hardy. So I'm thinking that if we go down this route in the short term, that maybe she'll try to lean and see if we can get Tom Hardy, which I'm cool with. So I'm just... Yeah, I'm just going to clarify that it was like not one of the main.
Marvel, yeah, well, I think, I mean, he is, Venom is a Marvel character. They're more Sony movies, though. So I feel like it was a little misleading. I feel like it's a little misleading, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
And he used to be DC because he was Bane. So it was misleading. But the idea of Bane, of Tom Hardy saying,
I have got to see the Tom Hardy American Underdog. That is my, oh my God. The imagination is running wild.
She would have taken Thor as well.
Wouldn't everybody?
She wouldn't have argued with Thor.
Yeah.
One of the things that keeps coming up in the interviews I watch you do, and I know, Zach, you talk about it a lot, was it is the Kurt Warner story, but the Brenda Warner story is so a huge part of this. It is so important. And it kind of reminds me of the movie Walk the Line, where it was Johnny Cash, but it was also June and was a huge part of it. Kurt, what are Brenda's impressions of the movie?
She loves the movie. But, you know, when people are asking us, like, they'll ask me, did you have any reservations about doing this movie and putting your story on the big screen? And for me, there was no reservations because, you know, a lot of my struggles and all that stuff kind of lean themselves to playing football and how things worked out. You know, over the years, you know, Brenda didn't ask for the spotlight. And she does. She has an incredible, when you talk about underdog stories, she's got an incredible underdog story. But there's a lot of weight that comes with her story. And so there was some hesitation there, like, how much of my story and what are we going to get into? And you know, that's a very vulnerable position, you know, especially because at the end of the day, she's not the one raising up the trophy. So, you know, it can't cancel some of that stuff out. With all that being said, I think she's really, really proud of the movie. And I'm really proud of that part of the movie because when we were making this, I just knew at the end of this story that I couldn't be the only hero. That if we were going to do this, she had to be in that role as well because we've done this entire thing together. And because of what she'd been through and what she had really shaped in me and what she had taught me and challenged me through the journey that she's had, that had to be a part of this movie. And so reservations in the beginning, how is this going to work out? What do I have to put on the big screen? But I think she's really, really excited to be able to share her story. I mean, she's been through some stuff now. And so to now go, I can use this stuff to hopefully inspire and impact other people's lives and encourage other people, she's very, very proud of how Anna portrayed her and how this movie reflects her journey and what she's going to be able to do with that journey moving forward.
The movie has something for everything. It's not just a football movie. It's not just about Kurt. It's every single person in your family will love this movie. Go see it on Christmas Day. Three questions left, guys. Let's do this. Which one's together? This is a question that every single person does. We've had Oscar winners, billionaires. It's called Finish the Lyric. I'm going to play for you guys both a popular piece of music. You're going to hear the singer or the rapper, whoever is going to do their thing, and it's going to stop on a dime. And then you guys, and I think you should do it together, should finish the song. And I guarantee you've both heard it. Number eight. Kurt and Zach, finish the lyric. All I gotta say to when you tell me not to play, I say no. No. So if you ask me why I'm not the way I'm playing, there's only one thing I can say to you.
Shout at the devil?
No, not at the devil. No. Can we hear it again?
Is that Shout at the Devil?
No, it's not.
You
want
to hear it again? Yeah, tee it up again. Go.
All I gotta say to when you tell me not to play, I say no.
No.
So if you ask me why I'm not the way I'm playing,
here we go.
There's only one thing I can say to you.
Shout. It is Shout. I don't know where we
All
go
right.
from there.
I think we're going to have to take the L on this one.
What? Come on.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's Shout at the Devil. Can you imagine I had the nerve to play that for Kurt Warner? All right. He says, there's only one thing I want to say to you. And then what is it? I want to rock. Twisted Sister.
Okay. I'm thinking I was thinking of a different song.
Who is that? I explain to you why I'm asking you guys that.
Yeah, who is that?
Who sings that?
Twisted Sister. I want to rock.
Yeah, right.
All right. Zach, in 2010, Zach, you and I were at a wedding together. A guy named Adam Green, who has directed you before, who I used to be roommates with. We were at the same wedding. I don't know if you remember this, but the guy who performed the wedding was literally Dee Snider, the lead singer of Twisted Sister.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, now, here's why I'm asking you. My wife was with me at the wedding, and she's a huge Chuck fan. And the whole time she's staring at you and saying, oh, he's so cool. He's so handsome. And like, I was getting annoyed by it, but respectfully, I want to ask you and both of you, do you remember the moment in your lives and your career where, oh my gosh, I'm getting a taste of success. And the first time, Zach, I'll start with you, that someone recognized you and was like, oh my God, you're this guy. I know who you are. Do you remember that?
I really don't. I genuinely don't. I mean, I think it would have been like the first thing that I ever did that was like consistently like on the air was this multi-camera sitcom called Less Than Perfect, where it was like me and this these Sarah Rue, Sherry Shepherd was on the show, Will Sasso, Andy Dick, Eric Roberts, Patrick Warburton, Andrea Parker. It was a strange office comedy that we did for 4 years. But it wasn't really that much of a success or a hit, though there may have been a few people who were like, aren't you that guy from that thing? But it wasn't memorable enough for me to be like, oh my God, it finally happened. I'm marking it on my calendar, July 3rd. Yeah, right. I don't know.
What about you?
I mean, first time is kind of tough. Did you blow that, though? You were supposed to remember that from the wedding.
Yeah. No, I totally remember.
I know, but you need to get those lyrics right so we can get
Wasn't a Twisted Sister guy. Also a little before my time.
We both should have known that. But I don't remember the first time, but I do remember a time early on. And so when I kind of hit the scene in 99, it was also when you had the Sosa and Maguire stuff going on in St. Louis. You know, so you had that whole thing going on. So I remember... You know, we were walking, downtown at one point in time, and somebody comes driving by and just yelling, Mark McGuire, you're awesome. So that was the first time I remember
you.
When I got recognized. So that was the first time I got recognized as being one of those guys. They got the guy wrong, but I remember that, and I'm thinking, okay, people recognize me. Like, I'm somebody.
They recognize that I'm somebody. Hey, we went to college together, didn't we?
Even though it was the wrong guy, I was somebody at that time, Kyle.
Wow. I always said you look exactly like Mark McGuire. That's a great one.
Exactly.
Particularly during that time, when he was like,
Not exactly an underdog story, Mark McGuire, but yours is December 25th, Two questions left, guys. You know what?
I want to
Let's
rock.
Get them both right.
I want to rock!
Rock!
All right. You guys can do it together in this one. 4 for 8. 2 questions left. Category is game shows. Here we go. In the early 90s, Lifetime aired what game show that took place in a grocery store?
Well, that would have to be Shop Till You Drop. Yeah. Shop Till You Drop. Final answer.
Shop Till You Drop. Is that correct?
Oh, what?
Zach, I love the confidence. You know what it was called? It's called Supermarket what? Sweep.
Oh, remember Supermarket Sweep? Oh, my God. Sweep? It was Supermarket Sweep. It was right. Supermarket Sweep. I totally, I'm sorry. Well, we both
the
thought
wheels
it was.
Are coming so, off.
I don't
this
know
why I'm asking
you. We drop, but you sounded confident. I was like, let's go.
I thought
shop,
no, 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 cool,
shop
cool.
for shoot. You, sure. No, you're fine, like, whatever. Shop till you drop. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it sounds really good.
That was Zach throwing into double coverage.
Everybody
sure
would,
he
everybody
could
would
there.
Just go straight to the meat section and just like load up on turkeys. They would just, yeah. remember was that was a big one.
What was yeah. the deal? Did you try to get as much, like,
yeah,
you whatever you could fit in a cart with yeah. the most money? What yeah. would?
Essentially, well, that was like the final round. You would do like all these various things as different teams. But in the final round, the teams would have to like take these, you know, grocery carts
I
out.
Remember
into,
that.
And it was like timed. And it was yeah. whoever could bring in the most amount of groceries.
Right.
The, time,
most,
like, the
most amount,
amount
of money.
Amount of
okay, yeah. gotcha.
It was great. Uh-huh. And they'd go for the like the steaks and the meat and then the baby formula and the diapers were
oh, yeah.
very expensive.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I told you everything has to do something with your career, your movie. I think if you're going to see this movie and you're going to see Kurt Warner, American Underdog, you can't wait for the grocery store scene. Like that, you know the story, you know the supermarket. Did they get this right? What do you remember about the supermarket scene, Zach, especially from your perspective?
Well, I mean, the thing I remember the most about the supermarket scene, and I don't know if it was a real moment in Kurt's life, though it may have been, but it's, you know, it's me or Kurt stocking, you know, the shelves and stocking Wheaties boxes up there, and Dan Marino's Wheaties box just glaring me down and reminding me of I'm stuck in this grocery store right now and not doing what this dude is doing. That's certainly the most kind of memorable moment for me. And that did that really happen to you?
It did really happen.
There you go.
Yeah. And I mean, growing up, Kyle, I don't know if you were a sports guy like me, but growing up, you know, you have a certain things on your checklist as an athlete that you say, I've made it win, right? So when you get on Sports Center, you're like, da-na-na, da-na-na, yeah, and yeah, yeah. you know, or you get on the cover of Sports Illustrated, yep. you're like, and then the third one was, I want to be on a cereal box.
Yeah,
I want to be on the Wheaties box. Yeah. When I grow up, I want to be that guy. And so, you know, you dream about that growing up. And so, yeah, I remember when I was stocking, one night when I was stocking the cereal aisle and I pulled out the box of Dan Marino, I actually talked about it in my Hall of Fame speech. That it was kind of like, you know, it was that thing that reminds you that you're in a grocery store, but at the same time, it also goes, but this is where I'm going to end up. It's that motivating factor to go, mm-hmm. this is still here. And this is my dream. So that was a cool moment in the movie. And you asked if they got it right. Cause there's not, you know, again, when you tell your whole life in 2 hours, it's not like we spent 30 minutes of the movie in the grocery store.
Sure.
But there were a couple other scenes. There was one where somebody, we talk about last question, somebody recognizing you. Mm-hmm. There's a scene in the grocery store where a kid recognizes me as the former quarterback of the college team of where I'm playing. And I thought they got that right too, because it's that embarrassing moment of, you know, he recognized me like, oh, it's great that he recognized me, but he's recognizing me as the guy stocking shelves mm-hmm. and not making it. And so I thought that was a poignant moment too, because I remember that, you know, you remember when you get there and people are walking down your aisle and you're like, oh, you know, I don't want them to see me and realize I'm here. And then the third one that they didn't get fully right, but they do have a scene where I'm tossing something to somebody else in the grocery store, which we did with different things. The only problem was the throw wasn't the best throw. And so it led to some chaos in the grocery store. And so I felt bad about that, because I know the throw would have been perfect on my end. So they didn't get that right in the movie,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I will live with that for the sake of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good. It's so, and I cannot wait to see the movie December 25th. It's Christmas Day. Go with your family. Go with your grandparents. Go with your kids. It's going to be amazing. American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Guys, we're at 4 out of 9 as we get to our last question and finish
only
up.
Only at four out of nine?
4 out of 9. We got cold in the second half, which is not you, Kurt.
All right, come on.
Did you hear?
Let's finish at 500,
Did
Warner.
You hear what he did at the beginning? He put up all these quarterbacks.
Well, whatever.
And not a single one of them that was lower than 5. No. So right now, we can't even equal any of those guys that he put up there.
And
I mean, so.
And then, you know what, Zach? This is in your hands. We're giving the ball to Levi for the last play of the game. Question number 10.
And then you go and do that.
Come on, bring it, baby.
Yeah, this is like who is it? Anna Vinatieri coming in to tear your heart out again, Kurt. I'm sorry, you just have to stand there and watch. Zach, question number 10 for every contestant is always what we call an essay. I have found an opinion of yours that you've given, and I'm not sure I agree with it or not. So I'm going to give you that opinion back, and the floor is yours to convince me and Kurt in any way that you want that this opinion is right. Zach, the floor is yours. You once said, the greatest Disney ride is Jungle Cruise. Convince us you're right.
Listen, guys. I've been to Disneyland many, many, many times, okay? Yep. With almost any ride you go on that ride, and that's the ride. And if you go on it again, it's the exact same ride. No matter how many times you ride that thing, it's the same ride. Now, can it be fun each time? Sure. If you go too many times, can it start getting boring? Absolutely. The Jungle Cruise, on the other hand, is a little different every single time, and it's about 11 minutes of bad dad jokes on water. If there is a better ride than 11 minutes of dad bad jokes on water, dad bad jokes on water. There isn't. There just isn't. And again, it's a different ride every single time. You got a different skipper. They got some different jokes. You can barely hear them because the intercom is like, they got the fake gun. They shoot in the air. Come on, one of the rides have a fake gun, a cap gun. I don't know. I rest my case.
I buy into the theory.
You can eat on the ride too.
I definitely buy into the theory that I like rides that are different every time. You have a little different experience every time. I've ridden it a number of times with my kids, and they can't wait to get off of it because of all the bad dad jokes that are told.
That's part of the fun.
But I tell you what, Kyle, if you do go with your kids, it makes that ride even more fun because your kids are in agony for those 11 minutes. Like, dad, that one, that was awful. But it makes it more enjoyable when you go with people that are irritated by the bad dad jokes.
The backside of water, guys.
The backside of water. Goat. They will literally say, this is my current job. My last job, I was at an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. And you just love it. Guys, you got it right. That is a 5 out of 10. Yay! You have finished the 10 questions. Kurt and Zach, the movie, again, American Underdog. Not only these two gentlemen, a huge part of it. You should be part of it too. If you like football, if you like overcoming odds, if you like romance, all that, this is the movie to see. Thank you guys for doing this. One last thing, every single person does a call out. Zach, I'm looking to you. Keegan-Michael Key calls out Michael Strahan. He comes on. Michael Strahan calls out this person. Think of any public figure in the world, Zach, that should come on and challenge your 5 out of 10 and speak to them in the camera.
Kelsey.
Travis Kelsey, great. Talk to him.
Travis, get your butt on this show. I challenge you to best our 5 out of 10.
It's not a big challenge, Travis.
Hey. Just make it hard for him, okay? He's a smart guy. He knows a lot. Just make it hard for him.
You guys are great. Go see this movie. Thank you. Love both of you. Thank you so much. American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story starring Zachary Levi. It is the movie of Christmas, and these two guys are national treasures, if you ask me. Not big Twisted Sister fans, but that's okay. See you next time on 10 Questions.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to see you, bro.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
This episode of 10 Questions was produced by Arjuna Ramgopal, Richie Bozek, and Isaiah Lakeland.